This morning's scripture reading will come from 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 10. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 10, 9 through 11. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly do not mean with sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or the extortioners, or idolaters. Since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reveler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person.
What a blessing it is to be here on this morning. Hope, pray, and trust that all is well. I did have Ryan make a QR code, so if you want the notes, you can get the QR code, and you'll have all of the notes for the lesson on this morning. If you don't have that ability, let me know, and I'll make copies of the lesson for you, and we can get those to you. And I believe that's going to be up for the remainder of the lesson. I don't have slides this morning, and the reason why is because I didn't want to put up any pictures concerning what we're going to be talking about on this morning. And when we consider such a great topic, we know that when we consider dress, especially in our land today, it's very challenging. I'm reminded of the challenges that some men have because of the dress of some women. And some women have because of the dress of some women. And now men have because of some men. And so we have all of these things that are going on today, and we have to discuss those things. Brother Hedick said something in his prayer that I thought was pretty interesting and apropos to what we want to talk about this morning, and the responsibility of the church sharing what they know concerning the Word of God in certain subjects, really every subject. And the church has been placed in the world to teach the world. And so we need to be mindful of our responsibility. Appreciate the reading of the scripture, and we'll look at that here in a few minutes. You have the notes. I won't be going over everything in the notes, because if I did, we'll be here till 12:15. But I did want to give you more information than what I believe that I had time to cover, because there is a lot to cover. We know that all men are amenable to the law of Christ. Everybody. Whether they are in Christ or not, they are amenable, meaning that they are subject to what God has said through his Son, Jesus Christ. John 17 and verse number 2 and 3. God made Jesus Christ Lord and Christ. There is no other Lord. The Bible demonstrates to us that there is one Lord. And because there is one Lord, we have the responsibility of listening to that one Lord. Jesus Christ is that Lord. It's nothing strange that God had worked through a people. And the reason why I'm bringing this particular point up is because today he's working through the church. But it's nothing strange that God has worked through a people. Romans chapter 3 verses 1 and 2, we know that God committed the oracles of God to the Israelites. You remember when the children of Israel came out of Egyptian bondage, he gave them a law, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandment laws, and many more, of course, but he was working through them in order to bring the seed, that is Jesus Christ, into the world. Not so with the Gentiles. In Romans 2, 14 and 15, they were under what is known as the patriarchal system, also known as the law of the conscience. Now that does not mean that they did not have law. Why? Because we know that they transgress God's law. Romans 4:15, where there is no law, there is no transgression. We know that sin is transgression of God's law. We know that Gentiles could sin, and they did. Hence, God sent Jonah to the Ninevites. So we know that they were under law, but they were not under the law like the Jews. And so God gave the Jews a law. But when we think about those of us today who are in Christ, now I need us to pay attention to this because this is very important. When we think about 2 Peter 1 and verse number 10, we have the responsibility to make our call and election sure. How do we do that? We do that through the word of God, through the law of Christ. We listen to Christ because Christ received his law from his father, John chapter 12, verse 48 and 49. And so when we stop and we consider, are we amenable to the law of Christ? Yes, we are. Everybody is amenable to the law of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9, 20 and 21, or 21 and 22. However, all men, now watch this point, have not submitted themselves to the law of Christ. That's the problem right there. And we see it in our land today. And we see it in the Lord's church today. Evelyn and I was watching a few worship services of some congregations in other states, and it was just horrible watching it. Why? Because they have submitted themselves to the law of Christ, yet they're not doing what God says. Well, as the people of God, we want to make sure that we understand that judgment is going to begin with us. 1 Peter 4:17. Do you know that when God begins his judgment, that he's going to start with the people of God first, then the world? 1 Peter 4:17. Point number one, I want us to consider purity. This is where we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse number 9 through 11 that was read in our hearing. I need us to be considering these thoughts because we understand that the world around us has a way of thinking. And this is nothing new. And what I'm about to say is nothing new. The world has always had a different way of thinking than God. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 9 through 11, Paul makes this point even in the first century to the church at Corinth. We see something here that the apostle Paul is demonstrating and getting across to the people of God. He says, I wrote to you in my letter not to keep company with sexually immoral people, fornicators, those who are using their body in a way that is unapproved by God, is sinful. Yet I certainly did not mean the sexually immoral or the fornicators of this world. Now notice the human family he's talking about. He says that the human family, you're going to have these type of people in it. He says, I'm not talking about that. Or the sexual, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters. Since then, now watch this, you would need to go out of the world. There's no way for us. Now, I need us to understand this point. There's no way for us to get away from all of the immorality that we see. You're going to see it. You're going to hear it. You're going to be probably up close on it, depending on where you work. We stop and we think about these. We have the responsibility. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Turn your Bibles there. We have a responsibility, according to the same Apostle Paul, as he is talking to the church at Rome. Similar language here. He says, I beg you, brethren, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now watch this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, need us to think about this. Here, we can't go out of this human family. We can't leave the human family. We can't leave this world. But Paul, by inspiration, says that we cannot or should not be conformed to this world, which means that it is possible for me to live among people who don't submit themselves to the will of God, and I myself submit myself to the will of God. That's possible. Lots of focus. Great teachings from God's word. We're obligated to do that. And so in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 17, you go and you read that on your own time, but very swiftly, come out from among them and be separate. The idea there is idolatry. Leave that alone, he says. You know, we may need to call some of us, not necessarily in this building, but as Christians, some Christians need to be called out of the world. They're worldly, they're carnal-minded. If some of us fit that category, we need to make some adjustments. We need to repent. We need to turn away from sin. All of us have had to do that at one time or another. What is our aim? What is our goal? What is our plight in this life? to be like God, 1 Peter 1, verse 15 to 16. That's our plight. That's what we're trying to be like. We're wanting to be holy. Without holiness, no one can see the Lord. What does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be upright? How do I tell the difference between that which is holy and not holy? How do I tell the difference between that which God approves of and that which God does not approve of? Number two, the decorum of the world around the church of Christ. Now, purity in dress. What does this have to do with what we're about to talk about? It has everything to do with it. Why? Because when we stop and we consider the world around us and the decorum of the world, the dress of the world, there are some things that's going on that should not be going on. There are some powerful influences, Colossians 1:13, that if we're not careful and we're not grounded and strong in the Lord, strong in the faith, strong in the teaching of Almighty God, we'll find ourselves doing the same thing. And so we want to come out from among that. We want to cast out the works of darkness. We want to remove ourselves from sin. Why? Because there is a great deal of shame, great deal of foolishness, a great deal of immorality, a great deal of nakedness. And that's what we want to spend our time talking about. Point three is the longest point because it's the nuts and bolts of what we want to talk about. Friends, if we're not careful, we'll be involved in nakedness and we ourselves won't even know. Turn your Bibles to the book of beginnings. The book of beginnings, Genesis 2. Genesis 2. In the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 2, as we hurriedly go through some of this information, we understand that nakedness is defined in a few different ways in the scriptures. And we ourselves have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to know what is nakedness. We see nakedness being shown as an example in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24 and 25, with the emphasis on verse 25. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now notice, a man ought to have a wife. I wish I had time to preach that. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. When you look at this idea of naked right here, literally they were without clothing, nothing on. A husband and wife have the authority to have nothing on in the presence of one another, not outside of that. We stop and we consider this idea. Notice what is connected to nakedness and marriage. No shame. That's going to be very important later on, Brother Lance. That's going to be very important. And the reason why is because if nakedness and marriage and no shame are connected together, when you go to the other side of it, there ought to be some shame. Job 1 in verse number 21, Job would say, naked came out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return, no clothing on. But look at Genesis 3:7. And notice nakedness having another idea of nakedness. Genesis 3 in verse number 7, you remember sin entered into the world and we find that Adam and Eve partook of that fruit and they sinned against God. They went against God's law. Then the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked. They knew they had no clothing on. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Drop down to verse number 10. Here God is calling on Adam and says, where are you? He says, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. Why? Because I was naked and I hid myself. Hold on. He was naked? I thought he clothed himself. I thought, Brother Royce, they made coverings with fig leaves. They did. And he still saw himself as naked. even though he had slight covering on. Even though she had covering on, they still considered themselves to be naked. Let me give you something to consider. When we think about the fig leaves were not good enough. They were not sufficient. They were not clothed enough. They were still unclad. When we think about clad, we're talking about undergarments. They were unclothed, if you will. Wasn't sufficiently covered. So to be clad in undergarments only is not a good thing. To lay bare, to be naked, to be insufficiently clothed. Friends, God wants us to be clothed. Turn your Bibles to Exodus 28. In Exodus 28, and I believe this is probably one of the greatest examples we have from the God of heaven himself. Remember, it would be later on that God with Adam would cover both of them. And we know that he covered them sufficiently. We know that. Exodus 28, verses 31 through verse number 43. Don't have time to look at all of that. Let's look at verse number 40 through 43. Here we have the clothing for the priest. Okay? And God wanted his priest to be covered. And he wanted them to be covered sufficiently, and he wanted them to look good. For Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, meaning belts, and you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. So you shall put on them Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priest. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from their waist to their thigh. Verse 43. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be statute forever to him and his descendants after him. Few things I have in my notes. When you think of the word coats or tunics, the definition literally a long garment, usually with sleeves coming down to the knees, rarely to the ankles. That's literally the definition. That's the Hebrew definition. In verse number 42, you see the linen trousers there. There we see the idea of underwear. To cover their nakedness, literally to cover their private parts. God wanted his priests to have their private parts covered. Well, if he wanted it for the priest, do you think he wanted it for the people? I believe so. The linen trousers were underwear. That's interesting. These are to reach the waist, literally the small of the back, talking about the man here, the small of the back to the thighs, the fleshly or the soft parts of the legs. Notice how detailed God is here. Notice what he wanted covered in his priest or with his priest, which caused me to think today how we are a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9. I do find it interesting that God wanted his priests not to have on underwear as they were serving in the tabernacle or on the outside when they came to offer on the altar. That's interesting, which demonstrates to me that he didn't want them wearing underwear. He wanted a covering from the shoulders down to the fleshly part of their thighs. We have people today wearing underwear out in the public. Amen. Now, we don't call it underwear. We call it something else today. Brethren, the reason why we need to talk about this, because the world around us just don't see anything wrong with wearing underwear everywhere. Peyton, they don't see a problem with it, don't they? They don't see a problem with it. But God does. His people do. Well, Brother Mike, what are you saying? What is the Bible saying? Well, we'll get to that. as the people of God, as the Lord's church, you stop and you think about Exodus 28 and what God is wanting out of his priests, what he wanted them to wear, and you think that we're priests and we're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Our name is supposed to be represented well. The name of Christ is supposed to be represented well. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1. God is to be glorified in the church. And again, we're priests. This is something we need to consider. Young people, we need to consider this. Wives need to consider this. We need to make sure that we're covering ourselves. Turn your Bibles to the book of John 21. Let's go to the swimming hole real quick. Now remember, we can't go out of the human family. Every now and then we may see something that we probably don't want to see. Let's make sure we're not the ones that's being seen in it. In John 21, Peter, a man, not a female. But Brother Mike, why do you keep bringing up the man, not a female? Because we understand that men and women are developed or made differently. Anyone in their right mind, R-I-G-H-T-M-I-N-D, can see that. The reason why I spelled it out, because we have some Brother Esther's not in their right mind, and they can't tell the difference between a male and a female. Hopefully you can tell the difference between Evelyn and myself. I can. Anyway, John 21, get back to the text, Mike. I'm trying, okay. In John 21, look at verse number 7. Here we have a disciple. And this disciple, notice, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. And plunged into the sea. He had removed it. That's interesting. He removed his outer garment. He removed his coat, his fisher's coat, implying that it was on. Let's keep reading. Verse number, where am I? 8. Is that where I am? But the other disciple came in a little boat, for they were not far from the land, but the 200, I don't want that. I want to go back to the verse number 6. That's where I wanted to go. I'm sorry. And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, that's the point I want right there. He put on his outer garment, for he had removed it. Why did he put on his outer garment? Because number one, he was naked. Number two, he was about to come into the presence of the Lord. That ought to tell us something. That even when we come into the house of God, into the presence of the Lord, we ought to have clothes on. Also should tell us that when we're going to the swimming hole, we ought to have clothes on too, truth be told. And we ought to make sure that we watch who we are and where we are. Go to Mark 14, look at verse number 51. We see a contrast to this. Mark 14, verse 51. And I know that this is not taking place, at least in our country right now. And hopefully it won't ever happen. But here we see a man that was stark naked. Now, a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young man laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. This man here was completely naked. So here we understand that Peter took off his clothing, his outer coat, plunged into the water. Here we have a man literally plumb naked, and they threw something over him, but he took it off and he ran. What's the point we want to make here? That we need to be sufficiently clothed. We have too many in our world, in our land today, that just, they're not wearing anything, friends. What about us? Do we believe that's right? Do we believe that the world has the right to define nakedness? The answer is no, they don't have a right to define nakedness. And I remember talking to my wife just a few weeks back. I'm like, I would just hate to try to rear children today. It's difficult. And I mean, it's hard for y'all to buy clothes because the industry is making it so difficult. And everything is showing everything and so tight and things missing. And it's just very difficult. And I hear some of y'all talking. And as a shepherd, I like hearing that language. It's just hard to buy clothes for my children. Well, we may need to buy us a sewing machine and start making our own clothing. Because the idea of nakedness is still in the mind of God. And then we wonder why pedophilia and perverts that are around us are just having a field day. Friends, could it be that the world around us has given them enough to look at that is stirring up things within their heart, causing them to exercise lust in their mind and then to pounce upon that lust? When the Bible demonstrates to us in the book of Job 31 and verse number 1, he made a covenant with his eyes. We'll have more to say about that here in a few minutes. But what are we seeing? What are we seeing here? And I just want to talk. This is what we're seeing here at 9th and Main. We're seeing yoga pants. We're seeing spandex. We're seeing short shorts. We're seeing the same thing almost that we see out there. When we come together in our gatherings, brethren, we shouldn't see that. We're seeing cut-off shirts, male. We shouldn't see that. We're seeing logos on shirts that have nothing to do with Christianity, and truth be told, a Christian probably shouldn't be wearing some of the logos we're seeing. We're seeing that. That's not modest either. We're talking about Christian decorum. Does it matter what I wear? When the pants are so tight that you can't tell the difference, friends, we should not see that. We shouldn't see that. Husbands, we have a responsibility to make sure that our wives come out properly. Wives, you have a responsibility to make sure that your husband come out properly. We shouldn't see that here. I mean, we see it out there in the church. Of our Lord, the Church of Christ is supposed to be called out of that. That's not what we ought to see. So what should we see? We should see clothing that's modest, that fits, that you're not trying to bring attention to yourself. But sometimes that's not what we're seeing, friends. And this is my personal thoughts on that. Maybe you just walked out that day. Maybe you just didn't give it much thought. Maybe you just didn't see anything wrong with it. I mean, that happens. Maybe you're just having a malfunction in your clothing that day. That happens. I mean, that happens. Or maybe I haven't done my job as a gospel teacher here. Talked about it enough. Dennis, that's possible. Maybe I haven't talked about it enough. Well, what do we do about it from this point forward? How do we take care of it? Because one thing that we should not do is bring attention to ourselves to the point where we look like the world in a sexual way. Friends, the reason why I'm talking to you, because here at 9th and Main, and I believe I can speak for the elders, and correct me, elders, if I'm wrong, we don't truly believe you're trying to do anything that's going to hurt the church. We don't believe that. But sometimes we allow ourselves to walk out of the house and things are just too tight.
too short, revealing too much. Let's just fix that. Let's just fix it. And I'm not talking about coming here. Brother Randy says something in his prayer that was powerful. We need to be pure in our thoughts, because pure thoughts leads to pure dress. Well, I just don't see anything wrong with this. Well, this is where Titus chapter 2 comes in, where you have the older teaching the younger. But then you have to have the younger who have the right attitude, and maybe you don't see anything wrong with it. But if it's going to cause your brethren to stumble, you should not wear it. Amen. I'm reminded of Paul and Philemon, and how Paul addressed Philemon, and he could have addressed him in the authoritative way as an apostle. But he said, I'm not going to address you that way. I'm going to put you in the position to make the decision out of love, not out of compulsion. Well, that's really what we want. Brethren, we need to think about these things, because we don't believe it's intentional that you're trying to be a distraction, trying to be inappropriate. We don't believe that. We're not trying to embarrass anyone, but we do know this. As the people of God, all of us have a responsibility to make sure that we are our brother's keeper. And then we wonder why pornography is running rampant, even in the church. We don't want to foster that. We don't want to help that. We don't want to promote that. Brethren, what we want is what the Lord wants. What you want is what the Lord wants. And so we have to keep that in mind. And so you have to work out your own salvation, but keep in mind that you have other people working out theirs too. And so we have all of this nakedness around us. What do we do about it? Well, do your best to stay away from some of those places. Do your best to guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23. Well, then, Brother Mike, now watch this question. Where can I go? Because it's everywhere. Use some discernment, Hebrews chapter 5, 12 through 14. What does that mean? If I'm walking somewhere, I'm talking to men now, and I see someone, a young lady or an older lady, and she's just as fine as all outdoors. Just. And do your best not to be looking back. That second glance is what gets you in trouble. Amen. Watch yourself. How about you, young ladies? The same thing. We have lesbianism running rampant around us. And we're blaming, well, who are you to say who I can love or can't love? God does. God is the one that determines who we love and who we can't love. How do we know that? Because in the beginning, he made them both male and female. Is it immodest for a man to put on a dress? According to the book of Deuteronomy, I can't remember the passage. Somebody get me that passage. I need that passage. I believe it's 31 or something like that, when men put on male women clothing. What's that passage? I need that passage. Watch this, friends. Deuteronomy what? That's it. Watch this. Deuteronomy 22:5, watch this. A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all who do so are an abomination to the Lord. Brother Mike, that's Old Testament. The principle still stands. God has always wanted a distinction, Brother Cochran, between a male and a female. And so when a man puts on women clothing and we call them drag, that's inappropriate. That's immodest. That's not right. They're sinful. Purity in dress. Brother Mike, why do you bring that up? Go to Romans chapter 1. Go to Romans 1 as we come to a close. I believe that y'all are intelligent enough to know exactly where we're coming from. Brethren, verse number 28 through verse number 32. We're not going to read all of that, but I want us to read verse 32. Verse 32. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Do you know it is wrong, it is sinful for us as Christians to approve of behavior such as that? So think about everything we've said this morning. It's wrong for us as Christians to approve of inappropriate behavior, immodest dress, nakedness. That's wrong for us to approve of that. And so let us never have the attitude or say, well, I wouldn't do that, but I can't say it's wrong. No, it is wrong because God said it's wrong. And so we want to approve of what God approves of and disapprove of what God disapproves of. So we need to address this. How? By policing ourselves and being mindful of the clothes that we wear everywhere. Number two, under that, we need to hold one another accountable, thus making everyone comfortable in our fellowship through modesty. Number three, we should consider clear and loving explanations with the correct attitude to change and be corrected as well. No one is above correction. Every now and then, someone might walk in and be like, don't make them feel to a point where they feel like dirt. What are you trying to do? You want to make sure that you preserve the soul. Every last one of us has a bad day every now and then. But when it's consistent, friends, that tells us that your thought process needs to be educated. And that's what we're talking about. Educating the thought process, the mind. We should make one another feel and know that what they're doing is either right or wrong. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll have just one more thing to say. Let's pray. Great God and Father in heaven, we are eternally grateful to the day that you bless us to have. And we ask you, Father, that you grant us the courage that we need through your word and through the fellowship that we have with each other. Pray to Father that the words that were spoken, that they were spoken truthfully, and that it was spoken with the right attitude, and that they will be received in such a way. Pray to Father that the congregation here knows how much the elders love them, and for this purpose, our love for you and for them, we bring across this particular lesson. Father, we know that every now and then we find ourselves sinning against thee, falling short against your will and according to your grace. And we pray to Father that we will allow your grace to teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Father, ask that you continue to grant us the wisdom that we need that comes forth from above, that we can teach those on the outside what they must do, not only to be saved, but to live lives that are abundant through this particular subject of dress. Again, Father, we love you, and we ask that you continue to bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider the gospel, the good news, and it still is good news about the God of heaven who sent his son, and his son conforming to the will of his father and coming down to this earth, living life in a human body to save sinners from their sin, to save them from the wrath of God, to help them to live the abundant life, to have a conscience that's clean through the blood of his son. That's why his son came, to save us from sin. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of sin, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will do something amazing in your life. He'll forgive you for everything that you've done wrong. He'll add you to his son's church, the church of Christ. You live faithful even unto death, and God will give you the crown of life. And in that church, you learn to be holy. You learn to be righteous. You learn to be godly. You learn to be upright, just as God will have you. And then God, on that last day through his son, will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I make you rule over many. Enter to the joys of thy Lord." Those will be the words that the faithful will hear. But maybe you're a child of God, and well, you struggle in this area that we talked about today. At one time, most of us did. But praise be to God that he loves us so much that he's merciful and gracious. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.